What a sad and tragic day in the history of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. Yes, what happened? The elders requested an earthly king like the pagan nations round about them. What were they actually doing? Well, they were rejecting God as their true king when they requested an earthly king. And you know, God allowed them to have an earthly king, but it was not without severe consequences. Study 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 through 18. So the Israelites were not going to select their new king, no, but God chose Saul, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, to be their first earthly king. And God anointed Saul and gave him a great opportunity. But tragically, he did not remain faithful to God after his early successes. And so as we study the example of Israel's rejection of God as their king, and then King Saul's downfall, hopefully it will help us to purpose our hearts not to follow after their ungodly ways, but continue in the faith. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, sir, that's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we gather together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have, and getting a Bible study set up would be a wonderful opportunity to study together from God's Word. We look forward to those opportunities. Yes, and we appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to notice the rejection of God as their true king, the nation of Israel. That's what they were guilty of. And of course, Saul later would disobey God, and we need to study about that example, as it is a negative example, but we can learn from it. So let's start our study with this question. To whom does the strength of Israel refer? Going now to 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. The word strength here is capitalized for a very good reason, since the strength of Israel is referring, of course, to God, for he's not a man. So the nation of Israel was distinctive from the other nations. Now, I want to emphasize that. They stood out from the other nations round about them because God was their king. Deuteronomy 21-4. God commanded and directed the Israelites through Moses, the lawgiver, Yes, the inspired scrolls that they had in their possession, the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate of the high priest, and the inspired prophets were what? Speaking God's word. And Israel won battle after battle by following God's directions. So since the pagan nations had sinful men and women as their kings and queens, why then did Israel's elders desire to be like them? That doesn't make sense, does it? Well, of course not. The Israelites gave this poor excuse to Samuel. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. That's 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. So rather than reject God as their king, why not reject the wicked sons as judges? That makes sense, doesn't it? Why not get rid of the wicked judges instead of rejecting God? So how did God respond to their tragic request? Let's go to 1 Samuel 8, 6 through 7. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, speaking of Samuel, but they have rejected me. That's God, isn't it? That I should not reign over them. That's clear the case. Clearly the case that the Israelites rejected God as their king. So with the words of the Lord, Samuel warned the children of Israel what it would be like under an earthly king. And again, you can study 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 18. So tragically, here is how the Israelites responded to the word of the Lord. Let's go now to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And notice verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. So this was the beginning of the downfall of the nation of Israel, as its history, yes, was recorded in God's word for our learning and admonition. Romans 15:4. 1 Corinthians 10:11, yes, it's for our learning and admonition. Our study now of Israel's rejection of God's will should be a warning to all of us that unless we continue in our obedience to the doctrine of Christ, we will fail, we will fall, yes, just like the Israelites did. So let us never, never, never forget that we will be judged by God's word. We will be judged by the word of Christ that he has spoken. John 12:48. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's the standard by which all of us that are accountable will be judged by. 1 Timothy 4:16 as well. Now, what's going on today, even in the Lord's church? There are those who we could term change agents. They want to change the doctrine of Christ and not stay with what God has set forth for us to follow. They want to be like the denominations round about us. So let's get away from the pattern of the New Testament. Let's go along with what others are doing in religious groups. And what's being done is forsaking the truth and following after the traditions of men. As we were warned in Colossians 2:8 by the inspired Apostle Paul, beware. Yes, we're not to follow the philosophies and traditions of men. We're to follow Christ, not get strayed and fall away, straying and going after these traditions. Notice some examples. Allowing women to lead prayers, to lead singing, and to teach with men present. Well, that's rather common in the denominations now. And not all of them, but some. But also now in the Lord's church, this is happening. Now, men and women are equal in the sight of God. Let me emphasize that. And all our souls are precious, no matter what our gender, male or female. And that's the only two, I might add. But if we're going to stay with the pattern of the New Testament, if we're going to stay with the will of God, then we're not going to have the women taking the lead in the worship service with men present, or teaching a Bible class with men present. Because God said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Here's the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, that's clear. No one should miss it. But the problem is, you see, some are making it cloudy by saying, well, that was only for that time. Now, prove that by the scriptures. Because you see clearly the situation doesn't change. This is for all time, of course, because this is talking about what happened in the beginning. And that doesn't change, does it? And so it's not about the culture of the times that this was written, of course, in the first century. But this is for all in the Lord's church today. It's part of the New Testament pattern. But you see, folks are wanting to get away from that and follow the traditions of men. And something else, setting up children's church. There's no authority for that in the scriptures. We're all to come together in one place, not segregate, you know, and isolate different groups. No, that's not part of the pattern in the New Testament. You see, these things are going on, and the Lord's church has begun to copy, like some of the denominations started this. What about having a worship celebration? Where's the authority for that in the scriptures? Giving performances during the worship services. If we're staying with the pattern of the New Testament, we're not going to participate in those things, even though there are those in religious groups certainly doing those things. But like I said, this is now in the Lord's church with some congregations, with change agents desiring to be like the denominations round about us. What about building family life centers? What's the work of the church? To set up a gym for playing basketball? Well, that's fine in the community, but that's not the work of the church if you're staying with the pattern in the New Testament. And so one needs to study 1 Corinthians 11:17 through 20, 14:40, Colossians 3:17, 1 Timothy 2:11 through 15, John 4:24, as we started out, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth with a proper attitude, yes. But that's not all. We have to follow the pattern of the New Testament. So, brethren, We that are in the Lord's church, let us take heed from our study of the nation of Israel, who gave up her strength, capital S, in exchange for an earthly king, weakness, and eventual ruin. Well, that's not what we want to do. So as members of the Lord's church, let us never, never, never forget that our strength is not in being like the denominations, but being distinctive. That's right, having the knowledge of the truth, staying faithful in the one true church of the Bible. And that church is the church of Christ. That's not a denominational designation. That's not just some name you come up with. No, it's saying this is the body of Christ, the spiritual body, which is the true church you read about in the Bible, because Jesus promised to build his church, yes, and purchased it with his precious blood. And being his body, what other name would you call it? It's his possession, the church of Christ. Now, we need to stay with that. Matthew 16:16-19. Acts 2:47, here's where the Lord added to the church daily. One church. Ephesians 4:4, one body. Study Hebrews 12:28. So let's stay with the truth. The Lord's church, by having the Bible as her only guide, has won spiritual battle after spiritual battle over those holding to their denominational creeds and false doctrines. Let's tell it like it is. This is something that needs to be shouted from the rooftops. The Bible should be our only guide. You've heard me say before, Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And if that's not our guide, we're misguided. Period. Denominationalism's problem is a lack of respect for the Word of God, as they have added many practices that are without scriptural authority. And they're not completely following the New Testament pattern. Maybe some things, yes, but not completely. So if one is a member of any religious body other than the true church of the Bible, the church of Christ, he's deceived and without salvation, because salvation is only in Christ. Acts 12:4, 2 Timothy 2:10, James 1:22. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Yes, we need to understand that the Lord's church is where God placed salvation. And therefore, we as members of the Church of Christ, we must remain distinctive and true to God's word, because the world does not need another denomination, does it? Do we need another denomination? More division? What the world needs is the gospel of Christ in order to become a member of the one true church for which Jesus died. That's what we need. Are we willing to submit to what God sets forth and put away those traditions, what we may feel very strong about, but it's not from God's word? So we turn loose of it if we want to submit to God. Now, let's ask this question. Why did God choose Saul to be the first king of Israel? Well, I think that would be good to discuss with the time we have left. Who did God choose to lead the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage? Was it someone to whom the Israelites looked up to as a leader? No, it was Moses, who gave several excuses as to why he was not able to lead the Israelites. But God answered every excuse that he made, as you study Exodus 3:4. Who did God choose to lead the Israelite army against the Midianites? Was it someone to whom the Israelites looked up to as a leader? No, it was Gideon, who did not think that he was right, the right choice either. He even asked for three signs from God, but God gave him four. Judges 6, 12 through 24, 36 through 40, chapter 7, 9 through 14. And keep in mind, when Jesus chose Judas Iscariot to be one of his disciples, he was a good man. But later, because of his love for money, Judas became not only a thief, but the betrayer of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, 47 through 50, John 17, 12. So let us always remember that God, being omnipotent, omniscient, has all knowledge. Yes, Isaiah 55, 8, 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Therefore, we can know for a fact that God's choice of Saul as the first earthly king of Israel was the best choice. That's it. That's the bottom line, isn't it? The scriptures reveal to us that Saul had a humble attitude at the time that he was chosen by God to be Israel's first earthly king. 1 Samuel 15, 17. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Yes, when you were humble, that's what happened. And note this passage, 1 Samuel 10, 20 through 24. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. And therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should come, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff, among the baggage. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. You see how that came about? That phrase, God save the king. So when Samuel asked the people, do you see him whom the Lord had chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? He was declaring that Saul stood above all the people in the nation. Of course, Samuel did not mean that Saul was above God, who was and is, let's emphasize, still in control. Now, when Saul was opposed by his enemies, who were fellow Israelites, they were called the children of Belial, he held his peace. Notice in 1 Samuel 10, 27. And later, as Saul restored the kingdom, he showed mercy when it was suggested to have these Israelite enemies put to death. 1 Samuel 11, 12 through 14, and the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? They didn't want him over them. Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Let's have unity. Let's start out on the right foot. So we see a good beginning for King Saul. He had some good qualities before he began his downfall. He started out very humble. He showed mercy, and he led the Israelites to victory in battles with God's providential care, of course. But Saul failed in setting the proper example before Israel as he made a shipwreck of his faith. And that's what we want to study, Lord willing, next week, as our time is drawing nigh. But how tragic While serving as God's anointed, he misused such a wonderful opportunity. And so as we'll look, Lord willing, next week, we can learn the tragic outcome of Saul's disobedience to God's commands, as he certainly had envy towards David, remember? And David was God's anointed to take his place as king over Israel. And we all should remember how Saul became jealous of David. And so let us think about, again, the strength of Israel, referring to God, as the Israelites desired an earthly king like the nations round about them because they wanted to have those same things that the nations around them had when that was not what they needed. God knew what was best for them, did he not? Why reject God as your king? You see, the point for us in our study today is not to reject God's will, because we see what's going on in other religious groups and we think, well, that's going to get us more people to come and that's going to have people, you know, more enthusiastic and let's do these things and see if that doesn't promote the work here. But what if those things are contrary? They're not according to the scriptures. There's no authority for them. You see, that's rejecting God. That's giving up God as he is over all and wanting to be like others round about us, just as the Israelites did. And what did that get them? It got them a downfall, did it not? So let's learn from this. And again, we want to continue our study, Lord willing, next week and really get into the facts of the situation with King Saul's downfall and learn from it, even though it's a negative example. Now, we stand ready to study with anyone and see what does the Bible say. What must I do in order to be a child of God, to become a Christian? Well, I can hear a lot of different things being said among religious groups, but what does God say? Well, God says that I must have my faith come by hearing. There's no other way. The hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not going to come any other way. Now I learn about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I believe that he is the Christ. He died for my sins. John 8:24. That's the next step. Now, believing that Jesus is the Christ, I'm motivated to repent, to change my will and do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. The next step is to make the good confession unto salvation, stating I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Now I'm ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away my sins, Acts 22:16. Now, once I've obeyed the gospel, the Lord adds me to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47. Now I need to remain faithful, even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.